Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're really getting going now on this Monday. Rose Sweet is here in studio with us. We're going to talk about divorce and annulment and the myths that people carry around about divorce and annulment. If you have questions about divorce and annulment, 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-318-7884. Rose is a leading expert in pastoral issues surrounding separation, divorce, annulment, remarriage, blended families. She's the author of a whole bunch of books, including Healing the Divorced Heart, a devotional, and Rebuilding After Divorce, How to Make Your House a Home Again. She created the widely used DVD series. It used to be called The Catholic's Divorce Survival Guide.
And now it's called Surviving Divorce.
Surviving Divorce. Right. I got to put that in my notes.
That's okay.
Every time I forget the new name. Surviving Divorce. Hi, Rose.
Hi, it's good to be here.
Very good to have you here. Rose, so I guess we're in a very strange time as far as Catholics and marriage go. And it's probably, if I wanted to count what the strange time is, it's probably like the last 75 or 50 years. And we've gotten just confused, I think. And even people of very, very goodwill. I mean, we don't remember what the church teaches, or we don't have confidence in it because of the sexual revolution or
many
what do you make of it?
Many people don't even know, period, because of poor catechesis over the last few decades.
Right.
But the truth is still there. This is divorce and annulment and remarriage is a difficult topic. It makes people so upset and so angry and so fearful. And that's why I think it's good that we talk about it. What does the church really say?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So, what does the church say? I mean, first, I guess, can Catholics get divorced or not?
Yes.
Oh.
But it's not that simple.
Okay. That's okay.
Okay. Here's the first thing that I'd like to start with. Okay. Each person is unique and unrepeatable, right? There's no other Cy Kellett, and there never will be. There's no other Rose Sweet, never will be. Well, so when two unique and unrepeatable people get married, that relationship is unique and unrepeatable. It's subject to certain circumstances and conditions. So if that couple gets divorced, we can't just apply the same blanket statement to everybody. We have to look at what went on with each of those two people when they said, I do. And that's what I love. That's so just, and it's so loving, and it's so merciful. And that's what the church does. The church says, look, if you go through civil divorce, if you felt that you had a reason to, or maybe you just did because you were a sinful, selfish jerk, we're going to help you look at that and see where you stand now and how you can move forward to happiness and holiness. So take a deep breath, everybody. The church is our mom. She loves us, and she has all the answers.
Yeah, well, that's kind of a refreshing thing to hear. I mean, because I do think there's many people who just don't know, or maybe it's not just a matter of don't know, but have anxiety or upset about their relationship with the church.
Well, that's because people mistakenly feel that the church doesn't understand me, the church doesn't get me, the church doesn't want me to be happy, the church just wants to shove rules and regulations down my throat. Or on the other hand, some people are worried that the church today is getting too loosey-goosey and doesn't care very much about the sanctity of marriage.
Right.
And we'll let those people get divorced on a whim and get off scot-free and go marry their girlfriends and live happily ever after while I stay home with the kids and the mortgage and I suffer.
Yeah, right.
So it's all over the place.
Well, what do you say to that second one, though? Because I hadn't thought about that, but there is this anxiety that are we taking seriously what the Lord said about marriage anymore, or do we not take that seriously? Is this all cop-out stuff, or?
We totally take it seriously. You and I do, but the reality is, as Patrick was saying in the earlier hour, is that the church has the rules and regulations we got from God Himself to keep us safe and healthy and happy. And if we follow them, that should happen. But there are many people, even Catholics, who don't follow them, who decide on their own, I can pick and choose. And, that's called sin. So the church still has a remedy for that. If somebody, let's say a priest says, oh, you can divorce your husband, you can divorce your wife.
Yeah.
You're not happy. God wants you to be happy. He's wrong, right, in this hypothetical situation.
Yes.
He needs to go to confession. Mm-hmm. He needs to be educated and enlightened and encouraged. And so do the people. So it's never the end of the story. If there's a misuse or a misunderstanding or a sin against marriage, it's not the end. And that's the beautiful thing about our truth.
Yeah.
We have mercy and reconciliation and restoration and redemption. We have hope.
Mm-hmm.
We have Catholic answers to your problems. Right.
Yeah. But I think that a very common thing now among Catholics is this kind of, I would almost call it like Catholic Rumspringer or something like that. The Catholics at a certain young age, some is, like in middle school, some maybe in college, they take a break from their Catholic faith. They get really, the catechism of the world is very powerful. And so they go with the catechism of the world and then later they become serious Catholics. But what about they got married in the interim and they've do you see what I'm saying?
I do. And here's what we have to be careful. We can't say, what about they? Now you're just talking about a big collective right?
Okay, fair enough.
We have to go back and say, well, we don't know. Maybe that couple didn't know what they were doing, weren't properly disposed, and have grounds for divorce or annulment. And this couple doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And each one requires a different special look at their situations and accompaniment and Catholic answers.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the bottom line is we're all confused, we're all messed up, we're all imperfect, we're trying to do the best we can. The church is not letting anybody off the hook. Maybe a priest or a nun or a lay person over there is, not the Catholic Church that's been around for 2,000 years, who upholds the beauty and the dignity of the sacrament of marriage.
Yeah, it's remarkably consistent on that. There's not even much dissent about that. There's different people. Well, communion for this one, but that's very marginal. The core of it is marriage is sacred. Marriage is a sacrament.
That's
marriage
exactly
is permanent.
Right. That's
and that
exactly
doesn't
right.
change.
That's exactly right.
We've got a lot of calls. Do you want to try to get one before the break? Shall we try to talk to somebody before the break?
Okay, Rose? Let's do it.
All right. Rose Sweet is our guest. We're talking about a divorce and annulment myths. 888-31-TRUTH is our number. We go now to Dave in North Dakota listening on 1320 AM. Dave, your question for Rose.
Yes, I'm just wondering if any Protestant marriage is considered valid because they aren't sacraments.
I love that question, Dave. Here's the thing about marriage. It has two parts. Number one, it can be valid and not sacramental. And number two, it can be valid and sacramental. And let me explain. Baptism is the only way that we can receive a sacrament. So if you have two validly baptized Christians, they don't even have to be Catholic, validly baptized Christians, they can enter into a valid marriage that is also sacramental, that they also get those extra special graces that come with the sacrament. If one of the persons is baptized and the other one isn't, they can have a valid marriage, but they don't get the sacramental graces. The church would still recognize their marriage as valid, but not as a sacrament. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Then the question of divorce comes in there. Are they? Is it possible for them to be properly informed and educated entering into this marriage in a valid sense?
Yeah. Okay. And again, we're talking hypothetical, but let me just. Okay. Let's take two non-baptized people. Let's take two atheists who went to Las Vegas and got married in front of an Elvis impersonator. They don't even believe in God. But they do believe that marriage is between a man and a woman and that they should be faithful to each other sexually and otherwise, and they should be open to the gift of children, and that they are to stick with each other till death do they part. That's the Catholic understanding of authentic marriage that we got from Jesus Christ, from God himself. So if they understand marriage as thus and intend it and are able to live that out, the church says valid marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But, and they have some grace, God graces them because he loves them, but they don't get the extra special graces that come with the sacrament that only comes when both are baptized. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. That's very helpful.
Good.
Well, thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. Again, our number 888-31-TRUTH. We're talking divorce and annulment and the myths thereof. How do you know it's an Elvis impersonator? That could be really Elvis. You know, he could have gone to Vegas and...
Could be a transgender Elvis.
Do they have that now?
I'm sure they do.
I imagine. They got everything in Vegas. We better take a break before we go too far, Rose. We'll be right back after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, my friends. This is Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers. Are you looking for a Catholic speaker to come fire up your conference or parish event? Or maybe give your high school or college students some hands-on training in apologetics? Catholic Answers has a team of first-rate speakers ready to hop in the car or board a plane to come speak to your group. To book a speaker, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com. That's CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com. We look forward to seeing you.
God helps those who help themselves. Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. We all hear sayings like these, and we assume they come from the Bible, the saints, or famous Christian writers. Nobody can seem to place their origin, but by sheer repetition, they've acquired a halo of truth. In my new book, What the Saints Never Said, I look at over 40 of these well-known sayings and track them back to their original sources. You'll be surprised at what I found. Some are close to what was really said. Many were misattributed or twisted beyond their original meaning, and more than a few of these sayings were simply made up. I hope by setting the record straight, I can make you aware of the theological errors that can lead us away from the faith and offer you authentic quotes from Scripture, saints, and scholars that will draw you closer to our faith. Get your copy of What the Saints Never Said by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Over the years, we have heard thousands of stories of how the ministry of Catholic Answers and Catholic Answers Live has changed lives all over the world. Do you have such a story? We'd love to hear how Catholic Answers has changed your life. Send your story to us today. Email us at mystory@catholic.com, or you can call 619-387-7200 to make an audio recording of your story.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, Monday edition, and it is the Monday of Holy Week, so a very blessed Holy Week to you.
Did you notice I wore
your Lenten purple.
Just for the occasion.
Good for you. Look at how out of sync I am. I wore green.
I know, but that's somber, though. That goes with Holy Week.
It's, you know why I wear somber colors? Because when I spill food on them, you don't notice it as much. That's how much planning I do.
Don't tell a lot.
But that's a very nice Lenten purple you have there.
Thank you.
Yeah, and quite a week coming up. I mean, all kinds of there'll be special programming and all that kind of thing. I think people should.
I love Holy Week.
Yeah. You ever find it difficult though? Like Holy Week, like especially Good Friday. It's a difficult day.
If you really allow yourself to enter into it, it's you got to hold back the tears.
Yeah.
You know, I know intellectually everything is fine, but when I am faced with the fact that Jesus suffered so much for me.
Right.
It gets you.
Yeah. It's good for us, though, to remember.
It is good. 888-318-7884,
the number. We're talking about myths having to do with divorce and annulment. Divorce and annulment myths. Myth number one, look, an annulment is just Catholic divorce.
Well, that's maybe true for you, but that's not true for me.
Wait, you can't say that. That's relativism.
What are you talking about?
No,
it's not just Catholic divorce. The Catholic Church does not believe that divorce is possible when, in fact, there is a valid sacramental marriage bond. Nothing can break it.
Nothing.
Except death.
Yeah.
The Church does recognize that... some people enter marriage wrongly and that there may not be a valid bond.
Yeah.
And so she investigates through a competent tribunal what was going on when you said I do.
Yeah. Like, so, I think in extreme cases, people would get this right away. It's just intuitive. Like if somebody kidnaps somebody and forces them to marry them, there's no way that could be a valid marriage.
Right. Right.
But it's the less extreme cases that people are like, wait, isn't that just divorce? Like, you know, like a maybe like even fraud. you know, somebody defrauded. They didn't tell them the truth about who they are or what they are.
Right. Or some guy takes his niece down or his daughter even and tries to marry her.
Right.
Yeah. And I think when it's the more common cases, we go into shock because I think our emotions get in the way. We get scared like, uh-oh, what does this mean about my marriage?
Oh, yeah.
And then also, I think it's lazy thinking. This is complex stuff.
Yes.
Because we're complex people and marriage is unique and unlike any other relationship.
Right.
And it requires thought.
But marriage properly entered into, where both people are free of impediments mm-hmm. and willingly choose it, is an unbreakable bond.
With the exception, and this is, okay, of the Pauline and the Petrine privilege, and this is another thing. This is called the favor of the faith, and that's another whole show we could get into. But it means if somebody's not baptized, let's say two people not baptized, and one wants to finally become a Christian, and the other one will have nothing to do with it.
Yes.
Now there's a big conflict, and the church and sometimes the Pope may get involved and say, that is a valid marriage. It's not sacramental.
Yeah.
It is valid, but we are going to dissolve it in favor of this person entering into the faith.
Yeah.
So anyway, that on a quick thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love it when you correct me.
I wish my husband was listening
right now. He would know that I don't really mean that.
I know. He would.
318-7884. Second myth, it costs an arm and a leg. To get this and all. Okay, I know that my marriage was not valid and blah, 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 but it just costs so much to get this annulment. I can't do it.
Well, that is a lingering myth that's still there. People used to think, if you were a Kennedy, you know, you could get one if you had all the money. But no, canon law always provided for hardship, always. That if you couldn't pay the required processing fee in your diocese, you didn't have to, you could make small payments. Then in 2015, Pope Francis came out and said worldwide, let's really make this clear to everybody. If they don't have the money, don't charge anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes a diocese will still charge a little bit, but there's no reason. Money is not a reason to not seek help with annulment. I'd like to qualify this, whether you are seeking annulment or whether you are trying to defend your marriage bond against a spouse who's trying to get annulment.
Either one, that you shouldn't let cost
be
the thing. That,
exactly.
Right. We'll do some more myths in a little bit, but I want to get to the phones. Donna in Syracuse, Indiana, listening on Redeemer Radio. Donna, you are on with Rose Sweet. Your question.
Yes, I have a question. Wondering whether if there are a lot of marriages that are not valid, but they don't know it. Like if you can get a divorce and then seek an annulment and the church grants an annulment saying that means that marriage was never valid, well, what if that couple had chosen to stay in that marriage?
Okay, that's a great question. First of all, the church presumes that every time a man and woman exchange consent or say, I do, that there is a valid marriage bond there. And so you don't have to try to prove it or wonder if you have a valid marriage or not. The church assumes you do and, you know, doesn't get involved in that. And people who, let's say it is a Catholic who married outside the church. Well, we can know in that simple case that is an invalid marriage bond right away, because when a Catholic marries outside the church, outside the Catholic manor, it's an invalid marriage bond. But he can rectify that. He can. You're right. He can stay in that marriage and rectify the situation, find out what the church really teaches, make that consent in his heart and rebuild and continue on with God's graces.
Okay, Donna?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank you very, very much. Let's go to myth number three. I want to do another myth before we take another call. It's so easy to get an annulment. Come on. It's just ridiculously easy.
Well, I know, especially if your uncle is on the tribunal. He's a Catholic priest. He knows the bishop. He can get you the annulment.
Is that what people say?
No, I've heard that. And I'm like, no, that's not true. Listen.
He would have a conflict, wouldn't he? He'd have to assign another judge to that, probably.
Well, technically, maybe yes. But, you know, how things go, people don't always do the right thing.
Yeah, right.
So I've been so blessed that I've been allowed to help people in the annulment process, both those who are seeking it and those who are trying to defend their marriage bond, in tribunals all around the country, all different tribunals, different judges. And I can see how different dioceses work. It's pretty interesting. They're not all, they all follow the same law.
Yeah.
But there's a little different flavor here and there. And it's not easy. Every one of them, every tribunal that I've ever worked with is dedicated to upholding the sanctity of marriage and to following canon law and to rigorously testing everything that's required in taking a look at somebody's marriage. They know this is big stuff. They yeah. know it impacts the whole family and the whole culture. And I don't know anybody, and I've been doing this for over 10 years on the annulment thing, where it's just so easy, it's ridiculous.
Well, what about the opposite myth, though? Then it's just impossible. You'll never get it. It's impossible to get one of these annulments. Don't bother.
Well, I do hear that, especially from, and God love them, because I love our priests. And I pray for them daily, and you guys all should too. They'll look at a marriage that's, a marriage was maybe 25 years ago, or maybe all the witnesses are dead or something. And the pastor will go, oh, you're remarried. Well, I can see you love each other. You got two beautiful kids in our high school. And you're not going to find witnesses. And God knows your heart, and you don't need to go, you're not going to get the annulment. Yeah. It's going to be too difficult to prove. And I'm like, wait a minute, Father. You're depriving them of learning more about marriage, of being honest about their situation, of going higher, of living according to the church. And there's so many fruits and benefits and joys that come from submitting yourself in obedience to the church. It's pretty mind-blowing. So why deprive people of the opportunity to go higher and to receive more graces? So it's just, we don't want people to get mad or leave yeah. or quit putting money in the collection basket.
Or take their kids out of the high school.
Or take their kids out of the high school, exactly.
Let's go to another call and see if we can. Let's go to Margaret in Colorado listening on 1060 AM. Margaret, we're talking about the myths of divorce and annulment with Rose Sweet. Your question for Rose.
Hi, Rose. I have a question. If the marriage is sacramental, if the Catholic was baptized, her spouse was blessed a Mormon, they get married in Las Vegas, but then a few months later, they have the marriage blessed in the Catholic Church, and they go through the classes and all of that. Is that considered a sacramental marriage, even though one person was not baptized, but he was blessed a Mormon?
Okay, blessed a Mormon doesn't mean anything in the Catholic Church. It has to be a valid baptism. And right now, according to the Mormon beliefs, they're not sufficiently consistent with our beliefs, and it is not considered a valid baptism. So they are.
Can I just clarify something?
Yes.
Mormons consider it a valid baptism. You mean the Catholics don't consider Mormon baptism valid?
That's correct.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Mormon who has not yet been validly baptized is a non-Christian
mm-hmm.
and marries a Catholic outside the church. And yes, that's an invalid marriage bond. But if they go down to the Catholic Church, here's what they have to do. They have to get a dispensation from the bishop to have permission for her, the Catholic, to validly marry the Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is granted, and they go, like you say, they go through all the process, and they don't just have their marriage blessed, they have their marriage convalidated, which means now it's raised to the level of valid in the church. It is not sacramental because only one is validly baptized, but it is valid. And the church recognizes it as a valid marriage.
So the one where, that she posed where they went to Las Vegas.
That was the first part.
Yeah, okay.
But then they went and got convalidated.
Oh, they got, I see.
Right. So the Vegas thing, no, shouldn't have done that. But that's never the end.
Yeah.
There's always, if you're a Catholic and you married outside the Catholic manor and it's been years, come home. We want you. There's ways of making this right and opening the doors for right. graces.
And several of my friends who are deacons who do this, work with couples on this, say it's much easier than people think to get your marriage
convalidated
in the Catholic
yeah,
Church.
Yeah, I'd like to leave the word blessed out of the picture because technically it's not right.
Uh-huh.
Because we can bless your cat or dog, and I can bless, the guys in the sound room. And
yep. You never do, but you could.
It's convalidation.
Right. Margaret, does that address what you were asking?
Well, yeah, kind of. I don't know if there was anything, any validity or whatever from the bishop. So the priest, he wouldn't have married them unless there was approval from the bishop, correct?
That should be correct. Usually the people who are getting married don't really know about it. It's done in the parish office, and they have a form, and they coordinate with the bishop, and the priest takes care of all that. So you can assume, but if you have any question, go look in the marriage file, because it has been known that they failed to get that dispensation from the bishop, and you got a little problem there.
Margaret, thank you very, very much for that call. We're talking about the myths surrounding divorce and annulment in the Catholic Church with Rose Sweet, our guest this hour. Our number, 888-318-7884. If you prefer the spell version, 888-31-TRUTH. More with Rose on annulment and divorce when we come back after this on Catholic Answers Live.
God helps those who help themselves. Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. We all hear sayings like these, and we assume they come from the Bible, the saints, or famous Christian writers. Nobody can seem to place their origin, but by sheer repetition, they've acquired a halo of truth. In my new book, What the Saints Never Said, I look at over 40 of these well-known sayings and track them back to their original sources. You'll be surprised at what I found. Some are close to what was really said. Many were misattributed or twisted beyond their original meaning, and more than a few of these sayings were simply made up. I hope by setting the record straight, I can make you aware of the theological errors that can lead us away from the faith and offer you authentic quotes from Scripture, saints, and scholars that will draw you closer to our faith. Get your copy of What the Saints Never Said by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers is doing it again. We're holding our fifth annual Apologetics Conference this September in beautiful San Diego, California, and we'd like to see you there.
We've had a wonderful time going home all enthused.
Every time we come here, it's just an incredible experience.
Normally, you'd have to root through a dozen different books to get half the stuff I've learned here.
These guys are so amazing. I always get so much, learn so much. I've already signed up for next year.
Join us this September 27th to the 30th for a lively and inspiring conference with an all-star lineup of speakers guaranteed to jumpstart your faith. All of your favorite Catholic Answers apologists and special keynote speaker, Raymond Leo Cardinal Burke.
I enjoy the atmosphere and the friendliness of the people, and I'm having a great time.
I love it. I love it. I'm so glad I came here.
I've just learned so much. You know, I've been a Catholic all my life. It's just been so wonderful.
I love it. I want to come back every year.
Look to EWTN for inspiring Lenten programming.
Can you go out of your way this Lent, maybe even today, to find a way to do some small kindness for someone you find difficult?
Actually, fasting was an important part of American life a century and a half ago when the country was predominantly Protestant. Two or three times during the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln put the whole country on a day of fast and abstinence.
Lenten programs now through Holy Thursday on EWTN Radio and TV.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Killett, your host. Rose Sweet is our guest this hour. Rose, the author, among other things, of Rebuilding After Divorce, How to Make Your House a Home Again. That's from St. Benedict Press. And Healing the Divorced Heart, a devotional from AMG Publishers. And you got a new set of books coming out, or is that top secret?
Oh, no, I signed the contract already.
Well, that's with St. Benedict as well?
Yes. It's called Adventures into the Interior Life.
Oh,
and
wow.
And we're going to start with four. But I have like four more I want to add, so it'll be fun.
Hey, that's great, yeah. Rose. When can we look forward to those, or do you not know?
Oh, it takes a year. You know?
A year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll probably have you on between now and then
at some point.
Let's go to Kathy in Pensacola, Florida, listening on 1370 AM. We're talking about the myths having to do with divorce and annulment in the Catholic Church. And Kathy, you are on with Rose Sweet. Your question, please.
Yeah, I had a question. Earlier, she said something about being married in Las Vegas. It was a valid marriage. And I know I've talked to priests that said if you're justice of the peace, it's not valid. There's the couple still living in sin.
Kathy,
I didn't understand.
That's a great question. Let's clarify that. If you're not a Catholic, wherever you get married, the Catholic Church presumes that you have just entered into a valid marriage. Now, if you're not baptized, it's not sacramental, but it is valid. Okay, but anytime you're baptized Catholic, one or both of the parties is baptized Catholic, and they go outside the Catholic Church and try to get married at a Justice of the Peace or Vegas, it is an invalid marriage bond. No authentic bond comes into being when they say I do. That's only for Catholics. Anywhere else, the Catholic Church assumes validity, not necessarily sacramentality.
Which is important because most of the marriages in the world are not Catholic marriages. I mean, every Hindu marriage is a marriage, and every Buddhist marriage is a marriage.
And right, right.
Every atheist marriage is a marriage.
And considered valid by the Church until proved otherwise.
Does that help clarify it, Kathy?
It does. My daughter and son-in-law were both baptized Catholic, and they were married Justice of the Peace. So that's why theirs wasn't valid. I understand. I had one more question.
Okay. Yes.
I'm a baptized Catholic. My husband, we were married validly in the church, but he was never baptized until he almost, when he fell out of a tree and broke his back, he was baptized by a nurse because of fear of death. Now, would that make it a sacrament? Or is it still just a valid marriage?
Well, you presume valid baptism if it was with water and in the proper form and matter in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the person baptizing intended what the church intended, and the person being baptized, blah, blah, blah. So we're going to assume it's a valid baptism. When you have a situation like that and the other one finally gets baptized, yes, boom, it now becomes a sacramental marriage.
Wow, okay, you guys have answered so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
thank
Kathy,
you for calling
much.
In.
Sorry we used those fancy theological terms like blah, blah, blah in that
Did
answer.
Did I say blah, blah, blah?
Well, you were just saying, I'm just teasing you.
No, but
Rose,
you
I'm
know
sorry.
What?
When you were talking about it, we presume it's a valid marriage. So you were saying, yeah, you know, assuming
know,
that all these things
but
are
But you
done.
Know people, the average person, and myself included, because I'm not a canon lawyer. Please let me say that loud and clear. I've just been in this business for so long. But sometimes those big, heavy theological words are overwhelming, and it's like, I don't want, just give me the bottom line.
Yeah, right. As long as your husband was validly baptized, which we assume, that's a sacramental marriage.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Right. Well, let's do another. Well, you know what? Before we go to another call, because I've only done four out of the six myths that you prepped me with. So we said, let's see. Divorce or annulment?
Annulment.
Makes children illegitimate.
Have you heard that before from people?
Yes, I have. I couldn't figure it out when I was young. I could not get my head around, well, what about that? Are they illegitimate kids?
Well, illegitimacy is a civil term, and it really started to have to do with back in the olden day, blah, 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 with property rights. You know, if you had had sex with your housekeeper in the barn or whatever, and you sired a child, that child could not access all your 40 acres of whatever you had. That was an illegitimate child.
So they didn't have a legitimate claim on your property.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Anyway, so now fast forward today, the Catholic Church does not say that when you declare your marriage bond invalid, that it affects the children in any way in that regard. That every child is wanted, every child is beautiful, made in the image and likeness of God, and through that child's baptism is a part of the body of Christ and the family of the Church. So that's just an old myth that...
There's no illegitimate children then. All children are legitimate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I gotcha.
Yeah, in the eyes of the Church, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. All right, that's good. Glad to hear it.
It is good. Were you concerned about that?
No. I'm not really concerned about that.
Okay, just joking.
Let's go to a call. You've flustered me now. I don't know even what to do with you, Rose. Sweet Carolyn in Denver, Colorado, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. You are on with Rose Sweet. Let's see if you can do anything with her.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I'm just concerned because my son and daughter-in-law, my son was baptized Catholic, went through all the confirmation and everything. My daughter-in-law wasn't raised anything, was not baptized, was not anything. Well, they wanted to get married down in Mexico, and we told them that they needed to get married in the church, but she was adamant she wanted to get married on a beach. So they asked my husband to perform the marriage, which at first he said no because they weren't getting married in the church. But then he told them he would if they promised to get married in the church. So he did the online thing, and they got married, and they still haven't got it in the church. So are they validly married?
Okay, let me ask you, Carolyn. We've been listening for a few minutes now. Are they valid? Do they have a valid marriage bond according to the church? I think you know the answer. Do they have a valid marriage bond according to the Catholic Church teachings?
I don't think so.
No, they don't, because when a baptized Catholic marries outside the church, it's automatically an invalid bond. Okay, that doesn't mean, though, that he can't pray for him to open his heart and learn about what this means and have him desire to come back to the church and enter into this rightly, even with her, and open himself and herself up to the beautiful, powerful graces that we get. And I want to say this too, Carolyn. Maybe you can say this to your son and daughter-in-law. Grace has real effect on the soul, the mind, the heart, the intellect. Grace can change you from a selfish, self-centered person to a sacrificing, loving person. And in marriage, we all want to be loved. And we want to know how to love rightly. And it's grace that helps us see and be able to live that out so that we can be happy and holy. So grace is important. Sacraments have power.
Amen. They do. Carolyn, so, how's that?
Yeah, pray for your son and give him my email.
Carolyn, okay?
All right. Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you.
You know what? Can I say this too? What a difficult position it is for those parents when their children go outside the church. It breaks their heart. Yeah. They know it's not right. They don't know what to do. They don't want to lose the affection and the loyalty of their children.
Right.
And God love them. This Catholic man goes down and gets a minister's license online so that he doesn't alienate his son and his daughter. I mean, This is hard.
Well, yeah. But as you said, the church has tools for these things, mm-hmm. has ways that God has empowered the church with all kinds of tools for healing and forgiveness and reconstruction and help and all that kind of
and
stuff.
And Catholic Answers, I love you guys. You are on the radio every day and out in the world getting those answers and those solutions to people. So thank you.
Well, let me thank you for something, for defending the sacraments. I think people have forgotten the sacraments mm-hmm. have power.
Yeah.
They're not just little ceremonies.
Yeah, exactly.
They have enormous power. All right, let me get the sixth myth in.
Okay.
And then we'll take calls for the rest of the show after I get the sixth myth. In order to get a civil divorce, you have to ask your bishop's permission.
Okay, this is causing a big brouhaha right now in Catholic social media. And the truth is there is a law on canon law. It was in the old 1917 canon law, and it's in the new 1983, that you should approach your bishop before you even consider filing for civil divorce. Now, where that came from is there's places in the world where their civil law and church canon law are very enmeshed and intertwined. There's almost no difference. So to approach your magistrate to get a civil divorce, you go to the church to get it. You go to the bishop. So the people who put this stuff together decided just to leave that in there rather than taking it out. But in the Western world, the bishops don't follow that canon law. There's the truth. There's a canon law in there that the bishops realize don't really apply in this culture.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely impractical and impossible to implement. And if I could just quickly, let's say in this diocese there's 500 annulment cases a year. That's just annulment. What if there were in this diocese, how many people in this diocese of San Diego?
There's 4 million people, but more than 1 million Catholics.
Okay,
in this diocese.
Million Catholics. Let's say 10% get divorced. What is that, 100,000 people?
Have to come
10,000?
By the bishop's office.
And they're witnesses, and we don't have a mechanism to hear their story and take care of it. Now, in an ideal world, yes, but that's the reality. And if you want to email me after the show, if anybody has more questions on that, I will cite you sources and canon law and catechism references, and I'll give you what you need for that.
No, I'm going to ask Ed Peters. He's the
guy. He's a wonderful canonist. Ed Peters, he's the best.
Yeah, I got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more divorce and annulment myths with Rose Sweet on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Bishop Chad Zielinski from the Diocese of Fairbanks of Northern Alaska, and you are listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
50 years ago, Blessed Pope Paul VI released his encyclical Humanae Vitae, reaffirming the Catholic Church's condemnation of contraception. Catholic Answers Magazine is marking the anniversary with a very special issue delving deep into what is arguably one of the Church's most controversial documents in modern times. Want to be sure to get your copy? Subscribe right now to the best Catholic apologetics magazine anywhere by calling 818-487-2011 or by going to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Don't miss out on what will be a virtual handbook on the most important aspects of Paul VI's profound and prophetic document. Don't wait another moment to subscribe. Call 818-487-2011 or go to the shop at Catholic.com right now to get subscriptions for yourself and those you love. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Oh, I'm a bad radio host. I've been enjoying my time with you and Patrick Madrid so much, I forgot to remind people that we have a special on Catholic Answers Magazine because we got a huge issue coming out. The May-June issue is entirely devoted to the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae.
I love your magazine.
Yeah.
It's chock full of good information.
It is chock full. So you can another
blah, blah, blah.
So many things are being covered in there. The theological core of the issue of contraception. So we'll get into that. But also the limits of what the document teaches. Why did the Pope put this encyclical out in 1968? So many more questions. You just go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. You get $10 or $20 off, depending on how long you subscribe for. The subscription price. And they'll make sure if you're if you subscribe before the end of this month, you will get the special Humanae Vitae edition. Go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com.
It's so well written.
Even
an idiot like me sometimes can understand, you know. I mean,
I know what you're saying. And I don't buy what you're an idiot like you, but it is very – it's crystal clear.
It is crystal clear.
And I think a lot of this is Tim Ryland, the editor.
Tim is awesome.
He does a really fine job of making that magazine very helpful and readable.
Yes, he does.
We should have him on sometime. Nah, I don't want him. Let's go to Kathy in Indiana, listening on 88.7 FM. Kathy, you're on with Rose Sweet. Your question, please.
Hi, Rose, and thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Kathy.
I'm divorced, and my ex-husband wanted a divorce, was having an affair, and wanted it out of the relationship. Mm. In my heart, I feel that I believe that we had a sacramental marriage, and I believe that it was through faults, sins on possibly on both our fault, on both of our parts that led to the divorce. Now, it's been suggested by friends and a pastor that I file for an annulment. But in my heart, if I believe that we had a sacramental marriage, is it appropriate for me to file for an annulment? I mean, why would I do that?
Well, that's a great question. If in your heart you're convicted of the truth of something, you don't want to go against that. Okay, but here's the caveat. A lot of people, when they say in my heart, that's their emotions and their limited understanding and belief of what the church teaches. That was me a long time ago. But I didn't know what the church really taught. So I would suggest that you get a good book on annulments. Yes, I did write one. It's real easy to read, but there are a lot of good ones out there. And read about what has to have been present on both sides on the day you got married. And look at what the church considers impediments to a valid bond. It may be that despite what you intended and what you wanted and dreamed about, he had some big issue that invalidated the marriage bond. But it may be once you read this book, you're right, that you're right. There is no grounds for annulment. And in that case, you would want to learn how to defend your marriage bond should he ever go down and he file for annulment if he wanted to get married again. You want to be convicted in not just your heart, but in your mind with facts and defend your marriage bond. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And unfortunately, I did have an annulment years ago prior to this marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am familiar with the annulment process. And that is one reason why, you know, I do feel so convicted this time. And I know my ex is not going to file for an annulment. He's, you know, basically walked away from the church. So it's not important to him. I don't see him ever wanting to file for an annulment because it doesn't matter to him. He has. So,
Kathy, just remember, if I might add, that what you experienced in your first go-around with annulment was pertaining to a different marriage with a different person, and that it may be very different in this marriage. So before you close your mind and heart, just make sure you've done a lot of good research on your own. And you can always email me after the show, and I'll point you to some good resources. But be convicted. Don't just go by your emotions. Be really convicted, and then you can fight one way or the other for what you need to do.
Thank you, Kathy, very, very much for that call. We go now to Gloria in Bakersfield, California, watching on YouTube. Gloria, your question for Rose Sweet.
Hi. Yes, my question is, my sister was married in the Catholic Church, and her wedding was annulled. So, and now she's getting married again. And my father's having trouble with walking her down the aisle. He's hesitant about it, and he just feels like he doesn't want to be disrespectful doing it again. So I don't know what to do or what to tell him to, you know, help him feel better about it. Would you be able to give me some insight on it or some input?
Well, hopefully, Gloria. I would start with asking him, does he trust the wisdom of Holy Mother Church? And that Holy Mother Church took a long time investigating her first, what they would call, attempt at marriage, and came up to the conclusion that there was not a valid marriage bond there, and that she was then free to enter into another marriage, should she want to. So the issue, it's two issues. It's does he trust that the church did the right thing in granting annulment? And number two, is she marrying wisely again the second time? Is he hesitating because he's not sure about this new guy, or that she learned anything, or is she making another mistake? So just ask him what he's afraid of. What is it that you're not understanding or afraid of? And dig a little deeper with him. And you can always email me after the show. If I can help in any way, I'm happy to.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, Gloria, thank you very, very much. Your website, Rose.
RoseSweet.com.
That is so hard to remember.
I know.
RoseSweet.com. Okay. Our next call comes from Anonymous in an anonymous location. Anonymous, you are on with Rose Sweet. Your question, please.
Thank you. Rose, I think we're in an exact opposite situation of people filing for annulment. It's a situation where maybe a person has to file for marriage. Two baptized Catholics with what might be a civil marriage. There were no vows, no God in the picture. 17 years later, of course, there's no love in the picture. Plenty of detriment. Mm. And after returning to the church a few years ago, I realized it's a marriage without grace, and it shows, and no level of effort can make up for that. So I'm thinking there are two options, a civil divorce and or
really, quote, file for a marriage by going through the Catholic process or deciding that there's no love and move on.
Okay, so are you saying, is this your situation or somebody else?
This is my situation.
Okay, so you guys were baptized, but you married outside the church. Let's stop right there. It doesn't matter what happened after that in a certain sense, whether the marriage was wonderful, horrible, whatever. Right then and there, when you attempted marriage and there is no valid marriage bond, you went outside the Catholic Church and didn't follow Catholic form. So you've been living together objectively in an adulterous relationship. There's no validity to it. Okay, fast forward 17 years, and I'm sorry to hear the pain in your voice that it was not a happy 17 years. And anyway, there is no marriage. What you are, in the eyes of the church, is a single person who needs to get to confession and ask for God's mercy and love and forgiveness and be filled with grace and get up and move forward the best you can. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I did that part, and now I'm at the step of, well, I'm prepared in my mind for civil divorce. Your show, I turned on the radio. I just happened to be this topic, so I'm not out the door like I was supposed to be, because this topic apparently came timely for me.
That's how God works. Well, you know, I can't advise you on the civil divorce part, because there's so many civil layers and complications regarding that. But I would get a good divorce lawyer. If you've done the spiritual, mental, and emotional part of it, and you're not living together as husband and wife, then you just have that last little bit to take care of. And if you want to email me after the show, and if I can help you anymore, please do that.
Well, thank you so much. I hope this helps other people.
Before you go, though, were there children involved?
No. No.
Okay. Okay.
Anonymous, thank you very, very much for that call. You can get out the door now. And if you email Rose, she will email you back. We do appreciate it. I think we can get another question in real quick. Peter in Worcester, Massachusetts, I'm going to have to ask you to go quickly with your question so that Rose will have time to answer it.
Okay. I think we should leave the topic of sacramental out of the question of validity. As I read Matthew 19, for example, it's two consenting adults committing to each other is intrinsically valid. So the natural law is the standard of validity, not the sacrament or anything else.
That's what we were saying, that there are two levels to marriage, and there is the natural marriage and the natural law. But the minute one or both are baptized, then they have the opportunity to enter into the sacrament and receive the graces thereof. So was there confusion in that?
Matthew 19 doesn't talk about people being baptized or about a sacrament even.
Right. But elsewhere in Scripture it does, like Ephesians, when Paul talks about marriage between husband and wife being the image, the icon of Christ the bridegroom and the church the bride. There's a top part about the sacrament and lots of good stuff in there.
It's just like, you know, that they are endowed by that creator with certain unalienable rights. You know,
you're saying it's part of the natural law in the same way that our inalienable rights are part of the natural law.
You're absolutely right. That's when the church recognizes and calls it, rightly so, natural marriage. And that's when baptism is not involved.
And there, I think Peter might be referring to, there's people that are advocating to change in canon law so that Catholic marriages are valid as well. They're presumed valid. But
they already are. Catholic marriages are presumed valid, and if both people are baptized, sacramental. We got to get our mind around that.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
They're all valid.
Yeah.
And when both are baptized, sacrament.
Got it.
Okay.
Peter, thank you. Rose, sweet. Thank you very much. That hour went so fast.
It did.
And there's a lot of people still on the line. I'm sorry we didn't get to you, but obviously lots of people want to talk about
this. This is an important topic. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. We must do it again soon. Rose Sweet has been our guest. RoseSweet.com is her website. Tomorrow, 2 hours of open forum. Tom Nash will be here. Tim Staples, God willing, we'll see you then on Catholic Answers Live.